Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman. Tonight we will be covering bits and pieces of the second dossier memo and also other details. I'm going to be playing an alternative song now. There was a computer glitch. We have a lot to cover tonight. Thank you, John, for calling in. I'm going to start with, thank you, Don, too. I'm just going to start with some brief overtures. Basically, the news is still rather concentrated, both the independent news channel and the mainstream media on the redacted Mueller report. There's pieces that have been facelifted from the 448-page investigation that seem to be trouble spots for people questioning the ultimate integrity of President Trump. Really, it's a matter of perspective, and it was determined completely by the Mueller investigation that there was not enough concise evidence in the sense of an orchestrated conspiracy to overtake election 2016 with a foreign government. So I'm just going to read my summary and then bring up some highlights, and then I'm going to pull John in. He's leading the show tonight. It was determined that there was no direct collusion between Russian hackers and the Trump campaign, but the American public continues to examine the impact of what Russia could have created in the 2016 election. There was an overt attempt by Russia to pervade the election, but it was not a conscious, orchestrated effort by Trump to completely embrace a cohesive effort to subvert the election. A second Steele dossier memo was recently released stating that Russia rejected Mitt Romney initially as Secretary of State. They preferred Rex Tillerson because, as the former chair of ExxonMobil, Russia was in a better position of lifting sanctions imposed on Russia in December of 2016. And that was the date it was imposed, and that right before Obama left office. When it was discovered that Russian hackers, the GRU, interfered not only with U.S. elections, but the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary private emails. It included hacking several Florida county election boards as well. They also were attempting to assist Trump in damaging Clinton. It was evident that Trump felt threatened by the existence of the Mueller investigation. He wanted Don McGahn to fire Mueller or pervade the active investigation by thwarting it, by firing Mueller. In this sense, Trump tried to use his authority to disrupt a Justice Department probe. There is some debate after the release of the redacted report that Barr should not have made the ultimate decision in fully excusing Trump. The public as a whole thought Congress should reexamine the entire context and determine if there was enough evidence to impeach Trump. In my opinion, you can extract whatever you want from the report, but Trump did make some compromising decisions and also made a very vocal statement that his presidency was blanked. But it's pretty much over now. But now that the second dossier memo has been released, it seems like they're just trying to continue to beat a dead horse into the ground. I'm pulling John in. Hi, John.
Good evening, Jane Haffelhoffer.
Haffelhoffer actually did her homework tonight. And with that, I didn't get into the WikiLeaks aspect of the Mueller report, but I'll pull Don in next. Good evening, Don.
Hello there, Jane. Hello, John.
Hello,
welcome to our
Don,
nightmare.
My brother.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Happy Brother's Day.
Happy Brother's Day to you too, man. You got it.
I did send Patty a subdued message that I'm sorry she was disturbed with our co-host last week, but John's
no.
leading the
no,
show.
No. Huh? Go ahead.
John's leading the show. I'm going to let him take over and respond to my introduction.
I just want to know what you thought about Patty's interjection.
I felt like she was really pissed. But I felt like she was using the intellectual timeline of us always reverting to the same subjective opinions. But in this case, we weren't really specifically discussing race in that particular instance.
It's America. I'm glad she spoke her opinion. I think it's good. We shouldn't suppress it.
Let's talk about that at the end, Don, because I just made this big intro, and I want to keep it fresh before while John still has all the information on the table.
Go ahead.
Yoder, it's your turn.
Okay, well, it is going to be very interesting. I think it'll be beneficial for the Democratic Party to kind of unite and figure out how they want to approach the next few months. I know with the appointment of Tillerson as Secretary of State, he was there for about 14 months or so. He got fired in 2018, I think around March. So he was there from February 2017 to March 2018. And the criticism from Pelosi and a few others is he was too tough on Russia, and that basically Trump was messing things up. I know they thought that Tillerson, because he had previous work with Putin, a lot of work with him through Exxon And through his energy companies and Russian energy companies, they thought that would be a nice fit as far as opening up things. But instead, Tillerson accused the Russians of using nerve gas on a Russian agent in, I think, England, I believe. And it, the relationship actually soured. Russians took out half of their embassy people, and we closed up a few. We took a few people back that we were working in their embassy. So there's been this kind of cold relationship. But I think the Democratic Party, it would be very beneficial to them to figure out what they're going to do, because there's going to be a wave of investigations on the dossier. It's something I had mentioned to Jane earlier. There was a state secretary personnel. Her name is Kathleen Kavalek. She met with Steele, Christopher Steele, in October 11th and wrote down notes, things such as Prague and Cohen, such as an embassy in Miami, and about 11 days later, the FBI kind of walked back statements. Actually, Christopher Steele did. He said, you know what, I'm not really sure. I can't confirm these statements. A couple days later, the FBI comes in with they came in with the basically the dossier that's supposed to be verified, and it stated that basically Michael Cohen went to Prague and paid for Russian information. The problem is that he never went to Prague. There's no Russian embassy in Miami, and yet they marched that through and presented as verified information. Well, that's a major problem. And
Not go to Prague?
Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney. Now, the whole case based on he went over there, met some Russians, got some dirty information and paid for it. Or actually, I'm sorry, got information on Hillary. And that's how kind of the whole thing opened up. And basically, that wasn't verified by Christopher Steele.
I would like to interject one thing, though. The meeting that took place in June of 2016 where Trump met with a Russian lawyer in the Trump Tower, was confirmed that she was going to offer dirt on Hillary. And also Trump tried to cover it up saying that it was about Russian adoption.
Well, that is an interesting thing. There's basically over 10,700 surveillance wiretapping requests. Only two have been denied between 2009 and 2015 through the Obama administration. One of them was Loretta Lynch trying to wiretap the Donald Trump organization. That was turned down. They came back at it again and got it through the dossier, which has proven to be unverified and salacious. Also, Christopher Steele, at the same time, was being paid $150,000 by the FBI, and also about $15,000 by Fusion GPS, the Clinton organization, at the same time. So he was working for both people, the FBI and the Clinton Foundation, when he gave a dossier information that was, he later on had to go to court in England. He had to admit he didn't know what he was talking about.
I have a question, though. What's the difference between Trump saying publicly, Russia, if you really are hacking us, why don't you find the 30,000 emails missing by Hillary? Because at that point, the Russian GRU did start interfering personally with Hillary Clinton's electronic stuff. What's the difference between Trump saying that tongue-in-cheek as a joke or not versus the Democrats trying to find dirt on Trump?
Well, as far as we know, FBI and Obama administration knew since about 2010 that Hillary had been hacked through her private server put together by Flat Rivers. They actually, in fact, in 2015, the people who at the State Department, the DOJ, when they found out about it, they drove to the FBI and met Peter Strzok and said, by the way, Hillary's servers being the one that's not set up with the right safeguards, it's being hacked by the Chinese, and here's the thread to it. And Strzok said, "Oh, I'll take care of it." And from there, well, I don't know if you've heard anything about
Peter
Strzok.
Was the Chinese really hacking her?
Oh, they have evidence of it. Yeah, the Department of Justice drove straight, and they were so horrified by it. And there's emails between Hillary and Uma Abedin, and internally where they were saying, "We've been hacked. We better shut this thing down for a while and try to figure out how to safeguard it." An interesting thing: Hillary was using emails through that server to Obama. They asked the president at the time, "Do you know anything about it?" He says, "I didn't know anything about it till you all heard about it." Well, here's the problem. When I try to email you, Jane, if you're the president, you have a firewall on your phone because anyone could hack you, you know, Chinese, Russians, North Koreans, Syrians, Iranians. So the Secret Service and the government, they put a special firewall on your phone to weed out anyone that's unknown. And the only way that I can email you is if I'm on an approved white list. So Hillary Clinton had to be put on a white list and be approved for her emails to get to President Obama. They knew this for years. And that's kind of the problem, is that they were surveilling Trump before the dossier happened. They were following Papadopoulos before they applied for the FISA. That's going to be very problematic for them.
Well, nobody is beyond scrutiny, and one of the triggers was Trump's son trying to find out dirt on Hillary. Like, Trump has a lot of internet. He's a different kind of presidential candidate. He had tons of international business ties, and he ultimately wanted to preserve his Russian relations with the oil industry.
Well, here's the question: if Trump was working with the Russians and they would be giving him information, why would people who aren't Russian offer Trump information and his people would be wondering what it is? In other words, if I'm working with you and we're covert and we're trying to overthrow someone else, why am I asking other people besides you? Like, I don't have any information, you know.
I think that the Russians, it's not that they wanted to control the American government, but they wanted Trump in his back pocket because they felt threatened by the sanctions that were imposed by Obama a month before he left office. And the Russians kind of do that anyway, just for entertainment, trying to pervade other people's governments. But as a whole, Hillary Clinton had good relations with China, and I don't think our country would be in the shape it's in now if Hillary was president, because now the whole trade war with China has disrupted all the stock markets, and it's driving up the Bitcoin, and China has really started, they're starting a hate campaign against America, even on their social media with a younger group. So we're becoming public enemy number one, not only in the Middle East, but the Far East.
So you believe that the American, the lowest unemployment ever among minorities, women, and blacks ever, you think it would be better under Hillary than the best record ever?
I'm saying the international relations with China, I don't think she would have dabbled in trying to make fair trade so pronounced to the point where it damaged our future trade policy with China, because we're equally dependent on them economically as they are us. And now it's creating a huge rift between both nations.
So you think the stock market being double what it was under Obama, it would actually be better under Hillary?
Like I said, the foreign relations aspect I do, John, and I will look up that the stock market has taken a deep cut in the last week. Don,
right,
could
so
you offer provide some support to me so I'm not fighting John alone?
Well, no, I'm not fighting you. I'm asking you reasoning. Go ahead, Don.
Because you're only cherry-picking what's going good right now. There's a huge backlash in our trade policy with China now.
Because we were getting screwed at the rear end by China for years.
Well, right now it's affecting everything. It's affecting products they can get and products we can export. And I would like Don's opinion. I would like a third-party opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, everything that everybody has said is right. The Dems are going to get theirs when they finally investigate all this stuff fully, which they should, you know. I mean, you know, we've got a presidential candidate who is knee-deep into Russia, China, and Iran. You know, Joe Biden, he is the epitome of the old guard who has, you know, has his hand in everything, kind of like a mob boss or union boss or something like that.
I don't think he's like a mob boss.
Oh, yeah. He has that kind of mentality. He's not a mob boss, you know, but he has that kind of mentality. And so that's our choice. And that's not the best, you know, the best choice that a lot of Democrats or independents or supporters of a new way want. There are a lot of middle-of-the-roaders who are just looking to make sure that things stay relatively secure as they have been. Medicare, Social Security are going like gangbusters. More people are getting into the rolls. They have to in one way or another. So it's surplus bloating our debt. And so the pension funds are dying. So nobody's going to have retirement, and retirement is the only way you can get into old age. The only way you can get into old age is having some retirement money. So these are all being affected, but the tariffs are going to hurt. They're meant to hurt because it's a sign of authority. It's a backdoor way to socialism, and that's what that you know nobody is really understands, and that's why it's hard for me to talk to people, is that they don't understand that you know the dichotomies in all of these arguments are changing, are just you know they're changing from one side to another all the time. Clinton, you know, he famously had tapes telling America that they need to secure the borders. And Obama said famously, we need to shut down the borders. Yeah, so these people have been saying it. Now the opposite is true. The Republicans are like, shut down the border. And right now the Dems don't know what to do because they don't mind tightening up the border, but shutting it down is quite contrarian to American life. So those juxtapositions of ideologies that are changing all the time are the things that people can't keep up with. And when you're mired in the past, it's very, very difficult to break into the present and take care of the future. So you know, right now we're at a very tense time. The tax reform has to be tweaked that brought this corporate tax down from 38 to 20. That has to be tweaked in the next upcoming
years.
Yeah,
I just wanted to interrupt a minute. Before I turn the baton over to John, I was going to tell you that John, that Trump Jr. is meeting with Congress for 4 hours in June to discuss what he knew about the Moscow Trade Center that was being planned. And they said that nothing is off topic for Trump Jr. He agreed to talk about everything. And also, I just wanted to mention one thing about the Chinese tariff and trade war. China announced plans to retaliate with tariffs of its own on $60 billion of U.S. exports. China cannot match Trump's tariff dollars dollar for dollar simply because they buy less from us than we buy for them. But they have other ways to make Americans miserable for doing business here. So they are planning a retaliation against us that could affect our daily lives.
There is no if. They will. And then we've got another $325 billion in tariffable.
I'm just saying, like, what is the end game? We got a lot of cheap products from them. Maybe it was imbalanced, but nobody was really complaining until Trump took office. Like, it was a win-win situation.
That's nationalism. That's that nationalism coming out. But our intellectual property on our software is being stolen beyond belief. The Chinese are going to make, you know, robots that can make babies before us with our own technology. And that's what the nationalistic mind of the, you know, of whomever wants to keep that intellectual property.
We have a guest caller from the Atlanta area, I believe. They've been on hold. They've only been on the line a minute, so I'm going to pull them in about 60 seconds. Keep talking, you guys.
I have a feeling about that call, but we'll see who it is. I have a feeling you're going to have to bleep it, but we'll find out.
We will. So, John, what's your rebuttal based on what me and Don just said?
Well, you know, you brought up the point about Trump taunting Russia to get Hillary's emails as if that would, like, oh, I think, hey, we better start looking into Hillary because Donald Trump, made a joke about it. They've been trying to hack us for years, and the Obama administration knew about it. Now, it's interesting. If they knew that they suspected Trump of being infiltrated with all these Russian players, why didn't they warn him? Like they warned Feinstein, and like they warned any. It's just normal, customary.
Well, I do want to make a distinction. Whether or not Trump was running for office, and he is a rather magnetic character in the sense of controversy, because he is an international businessman, but Russia would have tried to pervade the election no matter who was running. But because Trump had direct contact with certain Russian officials, and even Mike, the first guy who was supposed to be our Secretary of Defense, his last name is slipping from my brain.
Tillerson.
No, I'm talking about the first Secretary of Defense that Trump nominated. I can't think of his name. He was only in office a month. Manafort had Russian ties. So Trump had loose Russian ties all that time.
Well, that's interesting.
Like I said, there wasn't a concerted effort to pervade our government with what Trump was trying to accomplish on a personal end. I do believe he was sincere about becoming our president and applying his moral and what he thought were proper American values back into the realm of nationalism. But I do think that because of his wealth and his international business ties, that he did have some hidden agendas, just like anybody might be running for president.
Well, from what I understand, we're counter Russia in Syria. We're counter Russia in North Korea. We're counter Russia in just about everything. We're energy dependent for the first time ever, which is threatening to the Russian energy program. He's actually counter to what Putin wants. Now, it's interesting because if Trump was investigated for about 2 years, they started in the end of 2015. They've been wiretapping him, looking at all his information, and they spent 2 years and they couldn't find him guilty of collusion. And they didn't have enough information or evidence to charge him, because that's all that the FBI does. They charge. They're a prosecuting branch. The CIA can't do that. CIA gets information, but the FBI, they're the ones, they can take you to court and lock you up. They felt they didn't have a case after 2.5 years, and yet they still want to keep investigating. How long... If you can't find something in 2 years, then what are you going to do? Do you just keep
okay,
on going?
It's not a matter of finding it. They just didn't have enough. As we stated clearly at the beginning of the show, I'm rather disturbed that the aspects of the Mueller investigation are still being tabled in the public discourse. But that's over and done with. I think it should just be dropped.
But it's
but
not
matters,
like that.
As NPR and other people have alluded to, Congress has not completed its investigation, unfortunately. And also they think that there were 10 times that Trump tried to impede the investigation while it was continuing. So there are loosely built factors of him having egregious behavior, but there's nothing really to do about it. I'm going to pull this caller. We only have 15 minutes left, so I got to pull the caller in.
All right.
This is Political Gravity with Jane, Don, and John. Who's calling, please?
Yeah, this is Naj in Atlanta. I've talked to y'all before. Despite whoever that was hating on you taking the call and saying it would have been a prank call, this is Naj. What's up, y'all?
Yeah, we know Naj. What happened is we had someone impersonating Howard Stern on 4 burner phones about 2 weeks ago. So John was just a little wary of who it might be. Sorry about that.
It's all good. I just wanted to throw that shot at John because he spent so much time defending that I'm having a hard time hearing the conversation because it appears John is a Trump supporter in this conversation. I feel like I know that so far. But
I didn't let you in earlier because you are an excellent caller and we've enjoyed you in the past. So I'll just shut up so I'll let you say what you have to say.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. We'll see. We'll see about that. Let y'all judge afterwards. But look, the interesting thing about this is when it comes down to it, when you get to this at bottom, the defense ultimately is saying this guy, like the bar is on the floor. This guy is so incompetent that, no, he didn't collude directly. We're talking about them making mistakes as far as how this process is supposed to be done. Because think about it. This dude his son – and allegedly agreed to meet with some people to get opposition research on Hillary. Do you know how many firms in Washington you could go to and get opposition research on Hillary? Like, that's the dumbest violation anybody could ever commit. But that's what we're talking about. Like, this is more amateur hour than it is some kind of, you know, vast conspiracy. And then at the same time, if you're Putin, who's well researched on, you know, national security, espionage and everything else, the last person you're going to tell with one of the greatest secrets of all time is motor mouth Donald Trump. So it's not like, you know what I'm saying, they're going to sit down and iron out something with him. Okay, don't tell anybody, Donald. Like, you're not going to do that with him. So, you know, I think most of this stuff is about them not knowing the process, them hiring people who didn't know, you know, all of the loopholes and legal rules in which you can do things. Which become a problem for you legally because the other side, of course, they're going to attack it because it's right there. My problem with Trump supporters is the amount of lying it takes to defend this man. When just say it out and outright. He's an incompetent person. This office is way too big for him. So he flails and appeals to his base on issues that don't matter, and then the issues that they actually voted for him on that they actually thought were really innovative things that he talked about on the trail but walked away from as soon as he was elected, you start to see, you know, why this country is so divided now and why politics is such a difficult thing to discuss right now. Now, when it comes to this thing with China and tariffs, this is just old school dumb-ish. Like, you don't get into a trade war, period. Nobody wins in a trade war. Both sides get a black eye. So if you think you're going to be able to hit China in one industry, well, they're going to hit you in another. And the relationships and deals that you have become kind of, you know, in play. So the soybean deals that Brazil is picking up now, because the farmers here are going to lose them, and we're going to pay a subsidy to those farmers. So you're talking about government taxpayer money now going to the farmers because you disrupted the industry. I just don't want to hear free market conservatives now all of a sudden cheering and applauding for tariffs, because that is what?
That's
government
what I was trying to say. I was saying that
so.
Even though Trump felt like it was unfair, that certain the balance was unfair, it directly negatively impacted our American economy. The Minnesota soybean farmers lost 30 years of business with China. They lost their entire trading partnership with China over that.
Well, it doesn't
that.
Just stop there. Not only do you lose that deal, well, now you have to think about putting a different crop in your field. You have to think about, okay, maybe we need to diversify. We planted, you know, X amount of acres of soy. Now we need to change things. How long does that take? How many loans do you have to take out to get that done? What kind of manpower does that take? So you're talking about a huge, you know, I guess you could say a huge burden on those farmers. And now, honestly, what's going to happen is we're going to lose a lot of family farms. There's going to be big agro is going to buy up a lot of these family farms. So this part is a total disaster, because no matter what, consumers are going to be the ones who pay for tariffs. Because what? Companies are going to raise prices on commodities and also things that you, you know, normal use things that you buy, because they're not going to take the loss. We are going to take that loss. So that's where all of this stuff gets convoluted, and it turns into this nationalist, you know, wave your fist stuff. And if we're keeping it 100, like when you talk about intellectual property and stuff like that, how do you think America was founded? We took intellectual property from Europe. We were the country on the rise. They were the countries who were running things, but somewhat in decline.
Are you talking
and
about, like,
started
in the beginning of industrialism?
Yeah.
Like,
Right. Hold on. Let me ask
that's
you
what I was
point.
Talking about.
We
that's
Europe started putting tariffs on American goods because they said Americans have slave labor and cheap labor, and they're able to produce these goods cheaper than we can. We're going to put a tariff on them. That's what Europe tried to do to stem the tide. But what ended up happening? The American colossus eventually surpassed Europe, because you don't actually compete on the world market with the idea of taxes and tariffs. That's not going to make up the ground that you're actually losing to the other side when it comes to wages. So if you're a first world nation, you're paying first world wages, you're not going to beat the country paying third world wages and slave labor with the idea of tariffs. So this is where, you know, we're getting into uncharted territory, and we're starting to look like the old power who is ceding to the new power and trying to figure out ways to kind of juke the stats, because this is a disaster. Like, there's no reason to ever do tariffs or a trade war.
John, we only have about 10 minutes of the show left, or 7. Yeah. Why don't you create your rebuttal, since you're the opposing party?
Oh, actually, we're all in it together. I guess the question is, I guess no one had any problem with all the thousands of companies that closed over the last few decades, including three of the businesses I worked for under the Clinton and Obama, by basically selling us out to China overseas. We really didn't have an issue with that, and now that some of our farmers are struggling, suddenly it's a disaster. I guess the question is, really, when you research these things, do any of you guys, do you know about the Comey report, about Hoover's report, or about Horowitz's report, which will be coming? It's been going over the last couple of years while all the Mueller investigation has been going on. Have you done the research to understand what happened with the FISA, what happened with leaking of information, and basically the distortion of truth? If you have, I think you're going to find the next 2 years, you're going to see a lot of people being arrested or being imprisoned or going through the court process, including Joe Biden's son, including whether it's the Orrs, whether it's Baker, McCabe, Comey, Brennan, the whole FBI.
I really don't think any of those people are going to be incarcerated. I'm sorry to tell you, Joe Biden and his son had other business dealings in the Ukraine. They're not going to suffer. It's unrealistic.
Well, it's more than that, though, because we brought something to the table. We were discussing it, and you noticed immediately he tried to pivot to, well, look at what those people are doing over there, as opposed to getting into the meat of the issue we were talking about. Now,
we were talking specifically about Chinese trade.
You immediately moved to, well, look what these people did over there. Now, this is the reality. Your guy came in and said, this whole globalism thing and all of that, I can change it. I'll bring the jobs back. Well, the answer to that was, no, you won't. That's a BS answer. You're lying to your supporters. Now, the previous presidents who had to deal with it, let's deal with this on a corporate level. Let's say you're the CEO of a certain company, and the board is looking at you and saying, look, if we expand into other markets with cheaper labor, our company will still be profitable. We can still go forward in the future. Are you telling me that you're supposed to walk into that boardroom and say, I'm a patriot, and the hell with that, we're not moving over to Taiwan and paying people $5 an hour. We're going to pay the $15 an hour with benefits in America and maybe go under. The corporate board will fire you. So it's way too easy to play that game of saying, what about these people who went overseas? Put yourself in their shoes as the CEO of that company and tell me that you would have said, no, we're staying in America for patriotism.
I was told by the Obama administration and the Clintons that we have to get used to not being the leading world power. And all economic
strategies. That was never said. Come on. Let's be truthful now.
By the way, our next show is Monday night. We only have 3 minutes left. John, I don't think China pervaded your office supply industry. They weren't the cause of systematic office supply selling to a bigger company.
Office supply companies and things like that died because of Amazon. Amazon could do everything they could do, but cheaper and quicker to the consumer without the consumer even having to travel to it. That's just disruptive technology. Now, if you want to complain about that, I got a lot of complaints with you, my man, on that one. But we can't make
all
up
all the companies that we dealt with to get supplies, whether it was paper, whether it was manufacturing pencils, desk, all those companies went out of business due to China. Everything was shipped in. Everything you're wearing right now, everything your cell phone, your TV, it's all made in China. Are you seriously?
Yeah, but those people are working for $15 to $20
exactly.
a day.
We'll come back to
they're not exploiting
about.
Us. We're choosing to buy their cheaper products.
Absolutely.
Let me throw a little sunshine on that. Think about this though. China hasn't had a large labor movement and a large disruption based on people fighting for wages yet. That's coming too. Everything's not all sunshine in China either. There's going to be a point to where they're going to have a labor movement, even possibly a general strike, that they're going to actually have to address that, and that's going to be something that hurts them. So that's something that they have to deal with. But you saying that, oh, we sent those jobs over there, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying people were dealing with the conditions as they were. So, like, let's not do the thing where we make up and say that Obama said that the country would never do this or never do that. No, that's not true, man. Let's be honest here. What I'm saying,
Trump said America first, build it in America. That's been his
platform.
You can
say whatever you
want to
say. Implementing is a whole other thing.
GDP is up. We went over 3%. Europe was less than 0.5%. China is
and it lasted for a month and a half.
My man. China is getting 8% growth per year. China is getting 8% growth a year. India is getting 9% growth a year. We're lucky to get to 3.5% growth a year, and we still haven't done that. We've done it for a quarter, but that's not an